we left off yesterday, we spent a lot of time focusing on one possibility in the Gemara. And the Gemara said that a gistel maybe would be a great kula. At the end of the day, it may not have been correct. Matthias, maybe it wasn't in a gistel, maybe it wasn't. But at least the Gemara did present as a possibility of a kula called a gistel in Shemitah. The question is, what in the world does a gistel mean? So Rashi quoted two possibilities. Either a gistel was just a throwback to the previous sugya, that it was the same heter as Anun or whatever in the world that was, we weren't even sure. But maybe Rashi said, maybe there's a whole new kula going on here. Maybe it's referring to the fact that the land is owned by a goy, and the land is owned by a goy, so then Shemitah doesn't apply. Why doesn't Shemitah apply? That was a very, very difficult Rashi. So this has something to do with the Ein Kin and the Yakal Mafkia. So we said, hey, maybe this Gemara is assuming in general that Ein Kin and the Yakal Mafkia made a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe, as the Sefer Truma said, the watered down version in Rashi was, maybe it's talking about Bezman Azeh, maybe Bezman Azeh. Everyone would agree, since Shemitah is on the Dirabbanon, Ein Kin and the Yakal Mafkia. So we spent a lot of time talking yesterday about the pros and cons of that statement. But even Naniach, if we don't want to go as far as Rashi is going, even if we don't want to say the Karka Acham is a matter of Avoda B'Shnasa Shemitah, which is a very, very big stretch, but maybe we can take almost a watered-down version of this Sugya, not so much as Rashi saying vis-a-vis Avoda, but maybe what could suggest as follows. Maybe what could suggest that if a person's coming, if a farm is coming and wants to know, can I work the land, because after all, the land belongs to a guy, so maybe we're not big fans of that. We're not going to be so fond of saying it's mutter to work the land. We hold Ein Kin Yachal Mafkia, and even Bezman Azeh, even as Dirabon, and still Ein Kin Yachal Mafkia. But maybe we can have a watered down version of Karka Akum, not so much vis-a-vis the Summa of Avaidas Karka B'Shemitah, but there's a whole other half of Shemitah out there that we haven't really even spoke about, and that's vis-a-vis the Kedushas Perish of Bari. We know that during the Shnasa Shemitah, really two very, very different things happen. So Shemitah has Nafkaminas Dagabi Yisra Avaida. That's what we've been talking about up till now. And then there's another din called the din that a noyag in Perish Shavias, which we call not Hilchos Shemitah for the farmer, but Hilchos Shemitah for the consumer. There are halachas that the Torah says that anything that grows during the Shnasa Shemitah has Kedusha to it. It has to be eaten in a certain manner, perhaps it can only be eaten by certain people, it can only be eaten in a certain time frame. So all of those halachas that we call Kedushas Perish Shavias, so maybe, even if we don't go as far as Rashi to say that those dinim don't apply to Karka Goy, maybe the second half of the dinim of Kedushas Perish Shavias, maybe Tacha, are exempted in Karka Goy. Why in the world would one think there's a distinction? If you really truly hold that Ein Kin and Yachal Mafkia, if you hold that, this is like Islam, it's the same as the Jewish field, so why in the world would one be willing to be more lenient vis-a-vis the Peiros? So this is already a famous comment to the Beis Yosef. That's just a comment. It's a long, long tshuva, the Beis Yosef. It appears in the Beis Yosef. Tshuva is called Tshuva's Afkas Reichel. In addition to writing a Shulchan Aruch, and to writing a Kesef Mishnah, and to writing a Beis Yosef, so he also had answered, he was the rabbi also, he had answered Shals and Tshuva's. So his Shals and Tshuva's are called the Shals and Tshuva's Afkas Reichel. So in the Shals and Tshuva's of the Beis Yosef, Afkas Reichel, he suggests a whole brand new approach towards Karka Hagoy. Not vis-a-vis Avoida. Vis-a-vis Avoida could be, it's also, you're not allowed to work in the land, there's no kulas, Rashi and Taisa said it's wrong, and even the Rambam did it. Nobody agrees to this Rashi, vis-a-vis Avoida Sakarka. But maybe vis-a-vis Perish Shavias, in effect, Rashi is right. Why is he right? So says the Beis Yosef, because there's a new Gzer Sakosav out there. There's a new Pasuk out there that we never heard of until now. We're about to find out what it is. But the pasuk says, "V'hoisa Shabbos ha'aretz lochem ochla." That's the pasuk that discusses the details of kedushas perish shavias. What does the Torah say? "V'hoisa Shabbos ha'aretz lochem ochla." Listen to this drasha. Lochem below what? Come on, you can make up a drasha. Come on, lochem below. To liyakum. It's not a made up drasha. It's a teres kainim. Shtein teres kainim. Lochem below liyakum. Doesn't sound all that different than lochem by cooking on Yontif. Hul vadoi yaseh lachem, lachem lo liyakum. Doesn't sound that different from bayira, lo yira lacha chametz, lacha v'lo shalachayrim. So shtei interes konim, lachem v'lo liyakum. What is the meaning of that drasha? So comes to Beis Yosef and says, what that drasha is teaching me is the following chiddush. Notwithstanding the fact that it's land that's owned by a goy, and we paskin ain't kidding lafkiya, and all the Surah Avedas, Bishnas HaShemitah are Nogos in full force, and we don't accept Rashi's Pshat and Tanan Bachavav, but we don't accept Rabbeinu Baruch. But Aval Bichain, vis-a-vis the Perosh Shvias, vis-a-vis the Kedushas Perosh Shvias, all the dinim that emanate from Kedushas HaGezeres HaKosov, Lachem V'lo Liyakum Anu D'Rasha Gezeres HaKosov. That's the way this is the business. Who was the Ba'plukta of the Beis Yosef? Anybody knows? The Mabit. The Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. They lived in Tzfat. And the Mabit said, it's absolutely not true. Lo hoyu dvar miyolim. You want to discuss whether yesh kidin liachal lafkiya or not, we could discuss it. And there's not that much to discuss because we passed it ein kidin lafkiya. And therefore, vis-a-vis Isra Avoida, Rashi Pshat is not correct. I perishvias lechem lo yakom. That's bechlal, not what lechem lo yakom means. That's just incorrect. That's not what the drasha meant. What did the drasha mean? So if you look in the Rishonim, look at the Rash in this Perush and the Teres Kainim, what does lechem lo yakom mean? It does not mean that the fruit belongs. Therefore, the lechem lo yakom means that you're not allowed to feed perishvias to a goy. That's what it means. Lechem lo, a totally different drasha. It means all fruit that's this kaddish b'kedusha shvias, bein shal yisrael bein shal akum. It's also in the Torah to feed such fruit. It's also in the rabban to feed such fruit to a goy. That's what lechem lo yakum means. It's not a poiter. It's an oiser. It's a totally different picture. A legitimately different picture in the drasha of lechem lo yakum. So who's right? Is the Beis Yosef right, or is the Rash and the Mabit right? What is the meaning of this drasha lechem lo yakum? Anyone have any rayas? We'll try to bring rayas. Is it true? Does an issa defeat perasachim to a goy? Is that true? Anyone ever read a pasuk in Chumash? V'haisa shabbas aretz lachem liyachla v'cha ulevdecha v'lamasecha v'lischircha v'lisoshavecha hagarim imahach. Who are the schircha and the taishcha? Who are these guys? So the term sach v'tosh is a vague phrase. It means different people in different contexts. Sometimes tosh v'sach refers to an eved ivri, and sometimes it refers to goyim. Tosh ger v'tosh v'nechei imach refers mamish to goyim. So here it probably doesn't refer to an eved ivri. Why doesn't it refer to an eved ivri? Abduchadir probably doesn't mean an eved ivri. He's lachem. He's Jewish. Like just because he happens to be an Eved Ivri, therefore you would think that he's not allowed to eat Perush Shvias. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously, legercha l'schircha l'sashavcha is referring to goyim. So the pasuk says the fish you're allowed to feed the goyim Perush Shvias. What's the Rash talking about? What's Mabit talking about? So according to the Beis Yosef, that lachem lo liyakum is not telling you an issa. There's no issa to feed Perush Shvias to a goy. It's hetagom to feed Perush Shvias to a goy. Just because they ask kedusha, so what? There's no issa. The kedusha's perish shviyah shabbai doesn't create an issa to feed to a guy. Lachem v'lo yakum is a poiter on peiros acham from kedusha shviyas, as the pasuk says, l'schircha l'sashavcha. So according to the Beis Yosef, the pasuk l'schircha l'sashavcha is very, very simple to understand. But according to the Mabit, who says the Beis Yosef pshat is incorrect, the correct pshat l'schircha l'sashavcha the correct pshat lachem lo yakum is an issa to feed perish shvias to a goy, but it's not true. The Torah statement favors that it's mutter. So what's the answer? According to the Rabbi, you're not allowed to feed perish shvias to a goy. It's an issa there, I see perish shvias to a goy. It's a bizoyin, it's a bit like kedushas perish shvias to feed it to a goy. Why is chirch lo sashavcha mutter? That's the exception to the rule. Why is that the exception to the rule? Man ishtan is chirch lo sashavcha from a regular goy. What's the answer? Who is the Soch and the Teshuv? The goyim are working for me, so I'm supposed to support them. I'm supposed to feed them. A pidin, that's called what? That's called lecha. That's called me eating. What's the difference between whether I personally eat, whether my wife works, my kids work, I eat, my wife eats, my kids eat, or my goyish workers eat? That they're all part of my bnei bais. They're all smuchim alai. So any time I'm mechuyav to feed a goy, that's considered to be an extension of me eating perishvias. So according to the Rash, going to the Mabit, lechem lo yakum is not an absolute. Lechem lo yakum means that you're not allowed to feed. Stam, a guy comes in and you're not supposed to give it to him. But if he's your worker, she's your babysitter, so of course you're allowed to feed them. That would be okay. So it comes out, we have a major machloikis, a fundamental machloikis, how to understand these two different psukim. The two psukim, are they both talking about an iser v'achilas perishvias to a guy, and the Torah is minimizing that iser, is mitigating that iser, is saying that that Issur Lachem V'Leach was not absolute. There's an exception to that Issur, the Schirch L'Sashavcha, because they're B'nai Beischa. But we're saying no, that the Schirch L'Sashavcha is not minimizing any Issur, because there never was an Issur in the first place. There's no Issur B'chal. There never was such an Issur. I Lachem V'Leachem, Lachem V'Leachem is not an Issur. Lachem V'Leachem is a point there for Kedushas Perish V'Yir. So Habaycha Yivcha Machlekes B'Yishayis from the Mabib, Machlekes T'Yishayim, as to what exactly the Pshat of these two Psukim is. But at the end of the day, this has tremendous nafkah minas ladina. Is there an isser of other dinim of isurim of kedushas perish v'yis on perish al akum? So the Beis Yosef claims that gzeres of kosel lachem lo yakum that not, and the Mabit says lo hayu dvar miyam. There never was such a drasha. Is there another question?
Do we see precedent before that soshavcha means your workers or just means the people that are living around you?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Toshav Yisachar, the Gemara interprets to mean an Eved Ivri, because that means someone who's working for you, is hanging out with you. I don't know. So we have to look at Raya's, right? We thought we had a Raya. Tos Korna, Chemdol Yaakov. We didn't succeed. Nope. Who's got another Raya for me? Who's got a Rambam for me? And a Rambam? Read the Rambam, the Marim Kermis, and the Kushiv. What? Afam shekona karka beretz Yisrael v'zor b'shvius. So a goy buys land there. It's only plants and shmita. That's perfectly okay. But he did. He didn't have to ask seshah. It's after shemitz b'nei noach. Perosei mutarin. The resulting fruit is permissible. Shelo gozru ala svichin el bnei ervi aveira. Ya'atlam enim etzuvin ala shvias kdei shenigzru aleim. There's a whole story over here. Ram just introduced us a concept of called what? Called svichin. What in the world of svichin? What do the word svichin mean? So we need a background in order to understand this Ram properly. So I'm Jewish. I own a field in the Shnas HaShmita. And I'm not so religious. And I go ahead and I plant during the Shnas HaShmita. So now what? So I violated a terrible Issur Shnasi. I planted my carrots, my potatoes, my lettuce, everything just out. I violated Issurim Derais of Zuri and Harisha, you name it, everything. Now what? Nobody has any comment? So we're not sure now what. Okay? We're not sure what the answer to that question is. Now what, therefore what? So let's backtrack for a second. The Torah says, V'hoysa Shabbos Oros Bechem Lo'ochlo. Things that grow during the Shnas HaShemitah are allowed to be in Vaisa Shabbos Art Lechem La'ochla. What do you mean they're allowed to be? How did they grow in the first place? Wasn't I not supposed to be planting? So how did things grow in the first place? What's the answer of all those great city dwellers, all those great understandings of botany and agriculture? What? It grew on their own, right? Vaisa Shabbos Art Lechem La'ochla. Obviously what the Torah is saying is that you're not supposed to be planting, you're not supposed to be plowing, but sometimes things grow on their own. Whatever grows on its own, v'hoysa Shabbos Art Lechem La'ochla, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's great. Right? That's pashas in the pasuk. What types of things, what types of produce generally do grow on their own? Fruit. I plant the tree, right? Everyone knows that. You don't plant a fruit tree every year. You plant it once, and it lasts for 50 years, 100 years, or 200 years. It keeps on producing fruit. So one could read the pasuk very simply. V'hoysa Shabbos Art Lechem La'ochla. All your fruit, all your beautiful, wonderful fruit that's going to be growing on its own, we have no problems with that. That's heptagram, you're allowed to eat that. I'll tell you a secret. Not only are you allowed to eat that, but it's possible that what? Maybe a mitzvah. Who says who's the famous shita that may or may not say it? This is Ramban. The famous Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs that counts the mitzvah of eating achilles perish v'yis as a mitzvah. So some achvarim understood it's mamash mitzvah, like eating matzah. Hashem kiddushan mitzvahs. I don't know if you say a bracha on it, but it's mamash mitzvah deraisa. And the Chazanish said he doesn't think the Ramban really meant it. He thinks all the Ramban meant was that when you eat perish v'yis, there are certain dinim that accompany it. You have to eat in a certain manner. It's not a mitzvah to eat it. It's like mashal mal davadoyma. When you go to the store and you buy a bag of potatoes, so you makayim a mitzvah of mekachu memker. You make a bracha, shirki dushan mitzvah, but you want to make a mitzvah? No. It's not a mitzvah in that sense. A mitzvah, sometimes the term mitzvah means that it's a halachic category, it's a halachic process. When you buy a bag of potatoes, you're involving yourself in a halachic process. It doesn't mean there's anything great about it. You don't gain anything, you don't get any schar for doing it. You should just know that there are dinim that govern how to buy and sell potatoes. So the Chazan says there are dinim that govern how to eat perish shvius, but it's not really a mitzvah in the sense of something that you run after. And others disagreed. Others said, no, according to the Rabban, it's mamash a real mitzvah's essay, like eating matzah. So certain people in Eretz Yisrael are very fond of quoting this Rabban. Certain big supporters of the idea will do everything possible to try to get you to eat perish shvius, so they walk around being mefarshim in this Rabban. And the responder said, the Chazan Ish HaTzizot, the Rabban never said it in the first place. So I remember when I took the boys on a Shemitah trip, two Shemitahs ago, I took a bunch of boys from Yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael. So we ran around all the kibbutzim and all the moshavim and looking at all the greenhouses, all the places that observe a Shemitah, all the different kuntzim. So every place we went, they gave us the same shtickl Torah, the same drasha. Ve'yadua shitat haramban sheyesh mitzvat aseh min haTorah l'chol perish shvius. Every time, I would always smirk and say, it's yadua. First of all, the Ram doesn't quote it. And, only Ramban quotes it. And even with Das Ramban, we're not so sure what the Ramban meant, what people claim that he said. So it's not a Yadua. Efsharut. Maybe. Okay, good. And we're getting back to the story. So on the one hand, the Torah says to us that it's perfectly okay to eat the fruit of Shemitah, maybe even prefer to eat the fruit of Shemitah. But all of a sudden we find there's a machlekes atanoim, whether we have to put our foot down and certain things that grow by themselves. So comes the Tana Rabbi Akiva and says, Peiro Shvius are perfectly mutari, maybe a mitzvah, maybe not, but perfectly permissible in the Torah to eat. However, says Rabbi Akiva, that's talking about fruit that always grows by itself. Things that tend to be planted, even though every once in a while, even things that they be planted may grow by themselves. How does that happen? So sometimes the seeds end up being, an animal will throw the seeds in the right place, the wind will throw the seeds out. You can have a carrot that grows by itself. You can have grain that grows by itself. You have wild grain. You can have it. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says, anything that normally is planted, but it just, you happen to luck out and it grew on its own, baby had to baby is, sir. Comes Rabbi Akiva and says, that the Torah does not permit you to eat. That's awesome in a Torah to eat. You know what we call that, says Rabbi Akiva? That's called Svichin. Svichin means something that Lamaisa grew on its own. Practically nobody really did anything also with it. It grew on its own, but it's something that generally is planted. So that the Torah puts the brakes on. The Torah says, that you're not allowed to eat during the Shnas HaShemitah. So Peiros HaIlon, yes, but Yerokos and Kitniels and Tvu and that kind of stuff, no. How did Rabbi Akiva know that? Where did he figure this out from? So Gemara quotes a pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva. What does it say in Parshas Behar? V'chi samru manechal b'shenah hashviyis hein lo nizra v'lo nesof v'stavoseinu. The Torah addresses a question that Klai is going to ask. They're going to turn to the Baal Shem and we're going to say, what are we going to eat? We're hungry. Hein lo nizra, we're not planting, we're not eating. So what's the problem with that pasuk? Hein lo nizra v'lo nesof v'stavoseinu. We're not planting, we're not eating. What's the problem? Pain loan is what we're not planting. Loan is we're not going to eat that tefua. Tefua is something that's normally planted. So what's wrong with this pasuk? What's strange about this pasuk? Means it's the second question is superfluous. Hey, loan is ra. The people are kvetching to Rabbi Shem. We banish them. We didn't plant and we can't eat. If you didn't plant, there's nothing to eat. So they just should have said, hey, loan is ra. We didn't plant. So what's the mashmos of that second half of the pasuk? V'lo nesof is supposed to say, Rekiva looked at him. Rabbi Akiva was derish, every single pasuk, every single tiltil, shalachis. These are the days. Rabbi Akiva is sitting in the Beis Medrash with his 24,000 tamidim, and he's asked Yakash on the pasuk. Hein lo nizra, pshita. Sof pasuk. What's the meaning of the end of the pasuk? It must be the Torah is alluding to the fact that sometimes you can have something that even though it's there, you're not allowed to eat it. There must be some kind of machos, asuras, and shmita. And what is that? Halo Nizra is Kleisol are addressing the fact that they're not allowed to plant. And Halo Nesof is addressing, hey, Rabban Shalom, it's not fair. Here, your wind blew the grain, and we got this wild grain, uncultivated grain, and we'd love to sit and eat it, and you told us we're not allowed to. Halo Nesof is to Vaseinu. Zetman Fanda, there's an Isra Svichin Deraisa. Those are Rabbi Akiva Shita. So anything that grows totally on its own, like fruit, and nobody ever plants, that's at the Goma, maybe even a mitzvah, possibly. But anything that's generally planted, that's the Yisid Derais of Svichin, according to Rabbi Akiva. And who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Everybody. The other Tanaim say, Lo Hayuz, not true. There's no such possibility. I mean, it's a possibility, but that's not what a possibility means. According to the other Tanaim, it's all the same kasha. You have to medayik and klaisol's kvetching. It's klaisol kvetching. So klaisol, people kvetch a lot. They kvetch when they have a good visa. So the Rabbanim said to Rabbi Akiva, you're not going to be medayik halacha from the kvetches of klal Yisrael. There is no Easter independently of svichin. So therefore, according to the Rabbanim, it sounds gevaldik. If you lucked out and an animal came and planted grain for you, great, mother, enjoy it. So Gemara says, you're right, mid the rice, it's takamutter. But the Rabbanan, the Mishnah says, kol ha-svichin asurin. The Mishnah Shvi says, no, but the Rabbanan, they asked at svichin. What was wrong with svichin? The Torah, it's mutter, why they asked it? What's the answer? It's pretty simple. Because you're opening up a Pandora's box here. If you're going to be...
To prevent
cheats. Yeah, you're going to tell everybody, no problem, everyone can eat the wild grain. Het the gummer. What's going to happen? A guy in the dark at night, he's going to plant his grain and say, oh, look at this. Look at the animals. Did a great job. They planted my whole field for me. Look at the gavaldik. Right? In rows and carrots and potatoes. It's just exactly what I wanted. Must have been that malach who woke me up on Pesach morning. He's planting my backyard for me. It's gavaldik. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, they said, kol ha-svichin asur. Finished. Mipnei ovri aveira. So with this background, Zok the Rambam and the Shemit and Chadal and says, what if a goy plants his field in the Shnat HaShemitah? Did the goy do anything wrong? Did he do anything wrong? No, he did anything wrong. He had to go on top of the Shemitah Mitzvah Noach. Now a Jew wants to come and buy that tzvua, wants to buy those potatoes, wants to buy those carrots. Should that be a problem? Well, Midaraisa, for sure it's not a problem, because there's no such thing as speaking according to the Rabbanan. But wait a second, maybe we should make a gzeira the Rabbanan. Because after all, when the animal planted the field, when the wind planted the field, also nobody did anything wrong. If nobody did anything wrong there, and still Chazal asked Tzvichin, asked Gezeira, so maybe included in Gezeira Tzvichin should be the Yerokos, the Tvua, Kitnias of a Goy also. That's what the Rambam's posing as a question. So what's the Rambam's response? It's not the same. Why is it not the same? Because what? Because he's a Goy. He owns the field. So there's nothing he can do be here, sir. If it's a Jewish field and a Jew lucked out and the animals in the wind planted his potatoes for him, so it's too risky. You're going to be matter the potatoes that grew by themselves. Next thing you know, you're going to be matter potatoes that are planted. Or next thing you're going to end up violating Shnas HaShemitah. But the goy is not in the parsha. He's not a balaveir. We're going to say to him, no, we're not going to buy you a tefuah because there you're going to plant tefuah. What's he going to say to us? I'm alive. You just told me, Rabbi, you said it's mutter to plant tefuah. What do you want from me? So therefore, the Rambam writes that when Chazal asked at Tzvichin, they never asked at Tzvichin on Yerucha Shol Goyim. Zoi Shtei in the Rambam. They never asked on Yerucha, because the whole reason of the Gezer doesn't make any sense. Who relies on this Rambam, Bizman Azeh? Who relies on this Rambam? Het Mechira? No. Who relies on this Rambam, Bizman Azeh? Everybody who eats vegetables in Eretz Yisrael today relies on this, unless you besheet the won't buy any vegetables that came from Gersha Field. Okay, some people do that. Anyone who goes, anyone ever go to a hotel in Yerushalayim during the Shnas HaShemitah? Anyone ever go to a restaurant in Yerushalayim during the Shnas HaShemitah? Anyone ever go to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnas HaShemitah? Anyone ever eat a potato, a carrot, a cucumber, or a tomato in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnas HaShemitah? You rely on this Rambam. It means those vegetables, what we call, Yavul, what do they call that in Israel? Yavul Nochri. That's what it means. That's exactly what this Rambam says. It's Svichin. How can I eat cucumbers? How can I eat potatoes? How can I eat carrots? How can I eat the Rabban called Svichin Asurin? The answer is it's coming from Goyisha Fields, we hope. It's coming from Goyisha Fields, and therefore the Gezeira the Rabban of Svichin doesn't apply. So this is this Rambam. This Yadum of Force, and this is all the Klai Israel relies on this Rambam. What? I don't think so. I don't know, maybe. But we don't know of any. At least I don't know of any. Yeah. This is like super duper speaking. This is like the worst speaking possible, and it's still mutter. Right? That's what the Ram says. Akam Shazar, I just read the Ram with you. But I'm not interested in the Dinder Rabbanan of Svichin. I mean, it's a nice discussion, but that's not what interests me right now. What do I want to know? I want to know the Beis Yosef in my bit. I want to know, okay, so I go to the guy, and I buy potatoes and carrots and cucumbers from him, and now I want to know, do I have to observe the dinim of Kedushas Per Shavias on these vegetables? Which would mean I can only eat them in a certain time of the year, which would mean I can only eat them under certain circumstances, which would mean there are certain limitations on how to do with it, I can't throw into the garbage. I got a list a mile long of dinim of Kedushas Shavias. I want to know, do those dinim apply to these vegetables that this guy just sold me? So what's the answer to that question? It's Machlaikis, someone who? The old machlekes, lachem bol yafam, what does that pasuk mean? So could somebody bring me a raya from the Rambam? Who would bring me a raya from the Rambam? I want to see from this Rambam, what does the Rambam hold about this machlekes? The Rambam's not using gevaldik chiddush, unbelievable chiddush, that, by the way, the issed derabbanan of svichin, with the Baruch Hashem could breathe a sigh of relief, doesn't apply because the reason doesn't apply. What's the mashmos of the Rambam? That if not for the fact that just a quirk that the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, the issue of speaking would have applied in full force. What does that mean? What does that tell me? What does that indicate to me? The Rambam had no problems conceptually, theoretically, having an issue of speaking on perishal akum. It's just that the reality is there's no reason to make. We're not going to make gzera for no reason. You make gzera to accomplish things. So there's no reason to make gzera. So everything's mutter to prove an osur. So there's no reason to make gzera can be mutter. But conceptually, the Rambam could have conceived of there being an issur of svichin and peres akum. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with applying a gzera of svichin to peres akum. What does that tell you? Isn't that a raya brewer against who? Against the Beis Yosef? Isn't that a raya brewer that this kedusha and these peros, these are peros shvias. The gzera the rabban of svichin is on peros shvias. So these are peros shvias. And now the Rambam is just being mefalpel and being mechadesh. Even though these are peros shvias, the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, therefore we're not going to make the gzera. But if they don't start off as peros shvias, what's shach even to discuss whether there should or should not be a gzera? So isn't this a raya brew against the Beis Yosef? This one of the Mabitz raya is against the Beis Yosef. And the fact that the Rambam bent over backwards to give you shtikl Torah chiddush that the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, that meant from dawn the gzera should have applied, isn't that assuming that they have to be peros shvias? Now what would the Beis Yosef respond to that? Something very strange. What would the Beis Yosef respond? No, that they don't have to be peros shvias. The gezeir of svichin is not a deraisa. It's not Rabbi Akiva talking. This is the Rabbanim talking. Rabbi Akiva's issa of svichin taka emanates from kedushas peros shvias. One of the dinim of kedushas peros shvias according to Rabbi Akiva is that there's an issa rachil on svichin. But we're not only Rabbi Akiva. We're like the Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, it's an independent gezeir called. It's a gezeir atu avoda bishnas hashmita. It could have been possible. One, it's an itan lehayamer. You can have an issa derabbanan of svichin on something that's not kodesh, but kedushas peros shvias. That's exactly what the Beis Yosef would respond. That the starting point is there's no kedusha on this vegetable. This cucumber has no kedusha. This cucumber could have just as easily grown in chutz la'aretz. There's no kedusha on it in terms of peros shvias. Lachem lo liyakum is mafkia the kedusha peros shvias from it. And afal pichein is up to Beis Yosef. It's shayach to say. It's possible to say there would have been an issa of svichin on it because the issa derabbanan of svichin is not emanate from kedushas peros shvias. It's a separate issa bi'alma. So at the end of the day, the Rambam is not convincing one way or the other. But what just emanated from this machlokes, based on a bit, a fundamental machlokes, about what eyes do we look at, well, how do we view this issa derabbanan of svichin? The Chum made an issa derabbanan of svichin. So is this issa derabbanan of svichin a derabbanan dika extension of kedushas peros shvias? Midaraisa, we reject Rabbi Akiva. So midaraisa, we hold the issa of eating vegetables is not really Kedusha Shvias deraisa, but with the Rabbanon, one of the dinim of Kedusha Shvias is to observe an Isra Achil on the Svichin, but then the prerequisite, it has to have Kedusha Shvias, where the Mabit is learning, and therefore the Mabit saw on this Rambam Araya Brewer to Hishita that there is Kedusha Shvias in Peres Achim, and the Beis Yosef says, no, you're too lomdish, you're looking at the Isra de Rabbanon of Svichin with the eyes of Peres Shvias. No, Isra de Rabbanon Lachud, Peres Shvias Lachud, it's conceivable to have an Isra de Rabbanon of Svichin even if you're lacking in kedushas peros shvias. So an interesting machlokes, a very important conceptual machlokes, how to understand the prerequisite or lack thereof for the gzeir of svichin. But at the end of the day, we don't have any raya. So we had a few possibilities of rayas. Different memar chazal are impacting upon the machlokes. One is lachem v'lo li'akom. So we said, well, that's not necessarily a raya. Then we have svichin b'tvus akom. Also, not necessarily a raya. Do we have any other rayas? Any other convincing gemaras or not convincing gemaras? Anyone saw this in the end of Yevamos? Put in Ramakamas? No? And put on? So comes to at the end of Yevamos and says, a guy comes to me and he brings me fruit. He's trying to convince me to buy his fruit. So he says, let me tell you where this fruit is from. This food is from where? Teira shel azikahem. Oh no, that's terrible. That's treif. It's perish shel azikah. That's terrible. I don't know what that is. It's terrible. So you know what the Gemara says? Ain't on Eman. PMD Bashav. He's not telling you the truth anyway. He's telling you Bubba Maitz, he wants to convince you to buy the fruit. It's not really true. What he's saying is not true. Lu Yitzuya, we would have Ruach HaKodesh and know that he's telling us the truth, then we would stay far away from this fruit. Because the Paris says, hey, that's a terrible thing to buy. Right? That's what the Gemara says, okay? So comes Rashi, the Mefarsh in the Gemara. No, he's really Rashi. His job is to Mefarsh the Gemara. And Rashi's bothered a little bit. What did I miss here about Paris Azeka? I'm not sure what the words mean. What is treif about Paris of Azeka? We don't even know what the word means. So what does Rashi suggest?
The name of the city?
Quotes, it must be, well, that's the second shot. Rashi quotes Yeshayimrim, that fruit that was enclosed, Mishumar, that's what the word Azeka, derivation of. It's something that was in an enclosed orchard. And the guy's coming and telling me, this fruit, this is such special, Gavaldi, he's hiking, jacking up the price of the fruit, because this fruit was washed properly. What is this, the Hefkevel? This fruit has been washed properly, and therefore, it's the greatest, highest quality fruit. And that's tantamount to saying, it's treif, you can't eat it. And we say to the guy, yeah, we don't believe you anyway. You're pulling our leg, it's not really Azeka. So Rashi's scratching his head, saying, wait a second. And what exactly is wrong about that was in an orchard that was guarded, that was protected? So obviously, we must be talking about what year? Must be told about the Shnasa Shemitah. And now the wheels start to turn a little bit. Well, you weren't supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be guarding your fruit. How do we know that? One of the many mitzvahs of Torah during Shemitah is the Hashviyis Tishmetena Unetashta. What does that mean? It's one of the dinim of Kedushas Per Shviyis is that you have to be mafkid the peiros. You're not allowed to put a fence around your orchard in the Shnasa Shemitah. Remember, we said you're allowed to eat the fruit. But it has to be from Hefker. You have to give equal accessibility to everybody around. If you lock up your orchard during the Shnasa Shemitah, you violated a mitzvah that you mevap and a mitzvah derais by Shvias Tishmetan and Natashta. So Rashi quotes, that's what it must mean. That's the Perush Lazeka, that the Goy is telling you that this fruit will watch, they will guard it, and that's a terrible violation. So that's tantamount to saying the fruit of treif. And we turn around to the guy and say, we don't believe you. But if we would have believed him, if he's really telling the truth, then the fruit of treif. That's Rashi's first pshat. Rashi has serious reservations about this pshat. Why? What's Rashi's hesitations about this pshat?
Why does it make it treif?
Why does it make the fruit treif? I mean, you violate an issa. Every time you do an issa, your fruit is treif. You move out the limits of their issa. You didn't put on tefillin this morning, so all the food in your refrigerator becomes. I'm sorry. I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of the Mabeshra and Azma. V'shteit, the perishviyas, become also biachila just because I didn't perform the mitzvah properly. Rashi says, I learned all the Masechah Shviyas, I learned all the Rishamas, I learned the Hakom Mikol Kol. I never heard of such a thing. Now, there is precedent to say that there's a certain point when you're not allowed to eat perishviyas. There is a certain time of the year when you can't eat perishviyas. When is that? After what's called the Shas Habir, Mishnayis and Shviyas talk about after a certain time of the year agriculturally, when the fruit is no longer out in the fields, let's say I collected all the fruit, now it's sitting in my kitchen, and now if I look around in the backyard, I couldn't find this fruit anymore in the trees, so that's called the Shas Habir. So after the Shas Habir, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. True? Maybe true. There's a Machlekes Rishon, what does Shas Habir mean? What's the Machlekes Ram and the Ramban? Who remembers? Anyone knows? What does it mean? The Mishnah talks about the Shas Habir. You have to get rid of Kol L'chaim in Asada. Once you reach the time, you have charts and charts and charts of Shnas Habir. Somebody just called me yesterday about grapefruit. It was a Shas Habir. Not Shas Habir. I don't know. Look at the charts. So what do you do? It comes the Shas Habir. What do you do? We just had a Shas Habir. When? What? Er Pesach was the Shas Habir for what? No, not for it's also true. for not this year. What? Not this year. No, Shemitah. There's the Erev Pesach, was a Shas Habir for grapes. All the grapes of which were Kaddish Mekdusha Shviyas had to have had beer, Erev Pesach. Nobody did. If you lived in Eretz Yisrael, you would be doing beer on your Perish Shviyas of grapes, or your wine. What do you do? I'm ready to do beer, what do I do? So it's Machayiz Ram and the Rabbi. So the Rambam says, you burn it, of course. That's what beer chametz al shreif. That's what beer means. You make a big bonfire, you take all your bottles of wine, throw it in, take all your grapes, throw it in, all your... That's it, finished. That's what beer means. And then to eat it afterwards, it's also in a Torah. You have to get rid of it. And Ramban says, the Malo Torah says, beer we never found. Anyway, you have to make a bonfire for beer shviyas. Beer just means that you take all the fruit outside, and your mouth, even though you picked it up, you ate, you've been eating it, you have to then take it again and remafker it again, put it outside the street, and announce it in front of the whole world, everyone come and take it. You look around, nobody's interested, you take it back. And what do you do with it? You eat it. That's what beer means according to the Rambam. But according to the Rambam, there's Rambam should isra chila after the shasa biur. So Rashi in Yavamas holds like the Rambam, that there's some kind of an isra chila after the shasa biur. Rashi says, so I don't understand. What's wrong with the fruit that was guarded? If it's after the shasa biur, even if it wasn't guarded, it's also. If it's before the shasa biur, even if it was guarded, it's mutter. So it says Rashi, what's my perishalazik? What is this terrible machol? So what's this treifus? What's this violation of kashrus of perishalazik? Rashi says, I still don't have a clue. So Rashi is so bothered with his kash, he says, you know what Azekah means? Azekah is the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael. It has nothing to do with Shemitah. The Goy comes and says, these are Israeli produce. So do I have to believe him or not? So Rashi says, you don't have to believe him, he's lying. If the Muslim is telling the truth, then you have to be Mafra Shemitah Maisis, you have to Kiddush Per Shvish, you have to deal with all the Eretz Yisrael issues. Azekah has nothing to do with guarding fruit, says Rashi. The first shot is an incorrect shot, because Rashi can't figure out what's possibly wrong. So what Rashi somehow couldn't figure out, who did figure out? His grandson, Rabbi Natan, Tosis calls Rabbi Natan, says, no. The first shot is right. The Yesh Tayim, Rashi calls them a mistaken shot, it's correct shot, says Rabbi Natan. What's the Yisr? You guarded the fruit. And you know what happens when you guard fruit during Shemitah? Not only did you violate an Yisr, the fruit become irrevocably treif. That's that asa that creates an Yisr Achil on the Parashriyas once they're guarded. How do you know that? So Rabbi Natan dug up a Teres Kohenim that he claims says that, to which Rashi says that's not what the Torah Kohanim said. Rabbi Natan claimed, based on his pshat and something in the Torah Kohanim, there's an issa gomim in a Torah to eat any fruit that's been on a shumar. Machlekes Rashi and Tosis. Machlekes Rashi and Natan. Wow, that's a big machlekes. How do we paskin the loch and amachlekes? That's a hot issue in Eretz Yisrael today. Unless you went to a field, you bought fruit from a field that says in big bold letters, Kan Shomrim Shemitah. So Kan Shomrim Shemitah means that they knock down the fences. That's what it means. What it means that they open up the gates. They put up a big sign that says, it's Hefker, Hefker Lakol. That's right. So those who are Chashish Rabbeinu Tam would not buy fruit from anywhere unless they know for a fact that it wasn't Meshuma. Those who follow Rashi would buy fruit. How do we pass it?
Rabbeinu Tam's in Beer Shalakam, right?
Wait, hold on. What was that? How would we paskin la halacha on this machlekes? Machlekes apaiskim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes, and one of his shuvas that the minig in Yerushalayim was lahokel. That's what he writes. He writes that the ikra din is that it was mutter. I was told by other poskim today in Yerushalayim that is no longer the minig in Yerushalayim. What it never was the minig in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure machlekes what the minig, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. But Shlomo Zalman writes lahokel. But others question whether that's true. Rav Moshe writes in the Shuvah Slachal. What is Rav Moshe writing? The Lower East Side. What was the cool Lower East Side? The minig is Lachal Lower East Side. What was Rav Moshe talking about? About the Esrog Shemitah. Years ago, in the 1950s, when they started exporting the Esrog Shemitah to America, so they were exporting Esrog from Hetem Mechira, from things that were, according to those who disagreed with Hetem Mechira, were violating Meshumar. Means they were guarding the Pardesim. Everything was locked up. Nothing was left there. So the people didn't want to buy the Esrogim. So they said that if these fruit were watched, so according to Rabbi Natan, the fruit became what? Became the Menam Shumar, it's called, and the fruit became also Biachilim. What does the Gemara say in Sukkah? It can't be Yotze Dalaminim with something that's also Biachilim because it's not called Lachem. So there are some who questioned whether you could buy the Israeli Esrogim back in the 1950s. Because anyone who's relying on the Mechira, okay, so then you rely on the Mechira. But those who didn't want to rely on the Mechira, so didn't want to buy the Esrogim because they felt it's not going to be Yotzei. So the Moshe said no. The Moshe said that even according to the Machamir and the Mechira, you could still buy the Esrogim. You know why? So the Moshe Tzedek, we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam was a Das Yochid. So the Ikra Din is like Rashi, that even though it could be an Issa was violated, so Zayin they violated an Issa. What's up doing me? The fruit is still Mutar Bi'Achila. Since B'diavad the fruit is Mutar Bi'Achila, you could be Yaitzin Mitzvah Dalam Minim. That was a famous Pesach of Moshe. There those who disagreed with Moshe. That was, at the time, that was a big, big Sichsuch in America in the early 50s about whether we should accept that Kulana.
Is it really being Achila or not as well?
Well, once it tells the Bechil, then that does it in for Dalam Minim. Because Dalam Minim has to be Dabar Roy Lechil.
In general, though, is there limited to Achila?
Well, there's very few things you're allowed to do with Perishvias anyway, besides Achila.
Right.
So anyway, getting back to the story. So, we have Machlekes Rashi and Ben Atam. What exactly the Pshan, the Perish Azeka was. But, what does that have to do with us? What do we say from the Mabit? No? The guy is coming and bringing me fruit. Where did this fruit grow?
His field.
What?
His field.
Sounds like it grew in his field, right? Who does this not sound good for? So Rashi is claiming, this is the wrong case because there's no case in Meshulah. No such thing as Meshulah. Rabbi Tam, no, there isn't a Meshulah. Both Rashi and Rabbi Tam are both conceding, they're both agreeing to what? It's Kedusha Shvius, yeah. Rabbi Natan is saying it's the Issa, it's the din of the Shvius that's Mechayiv of Hefker, which is creating the Issa of Meshumah. And Rashi says, in theory, that would be right, except there's no such thing as Meshumah. According to the Beis Yosef, the sugya is a non-starter. According to the Beis Yosef, the guy is bringing you fruit from his own field. There's no Kedusha Shvius on it. So how could there be an Issa of Meshumah? What's Rabbi Natan talking about? What's Rashi saying? Oh, there's no Meshumah. There is an Issa Acharabi, but that doesn't depend on Meshumah. But what's very soon? There's no condition. It's like a guy bringing you fruit from America. There's no Issa Bechlal. So the Chor, the Pashas, the Dvarim, both in Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, is like the Mabit against the Beis Yosef. How would the Beis Yosef read those Rishonim? How would he read that whole sugya?
Rashi doesn't fulfill my tradition.
You mean again? Okay, so Rashi, he has one pshat in Rashi and Sanhedrin. Maybe it was Manazeh. Then you know, okay, again, like we said before, Rashi may only be talking about was Manazeh. But the Chor from the whole deal, the whole sichsa of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, a rival against the Beis Yosef. So how would the Beis Yosef touch up that sugya?
Well, from
the Jews. Yeah, the guy's coming and saying that I didn't buy my own from. I'm a middleman. I'm a distributor. I bought from Yaakov Shmerel's field, which was Minam Meshumah, because Yaakov Shmerel wasn't so from. Jake Sam wasn't as from as we thought he was, and he went ahead and he violated the din of Meshumah. So Rashi says that there's no such thing as Meshumah. And Rabbeinu Tam, no, there is a din of Meshumah. If the goy would come and say Muhammad would tell us these are my fruits, and then we say good, because then the Beis Yosef Yechlan Am Yisbal, we would eat them lechatchila because there's no kedusha shviyas on them lechlal. So according to Beis Yosef, you have to almost learn no kimta in the Gemara. It's no kimta what the goy is claiming. That means the potential chashash was not that the goy is bringing fruit from his own fruit fields; he's bringing fruit from a Jew's field. That's what the concern potentially was. That's a whole new ballgame in the Gemara. So the simple reading of that Gemara sounds a little bit closer to the Mabit than to the Beis Yosef. So again, so we have the whole sugya of Meshumar, the whole sugya at the end of Yevamos, which is also now a pivotal sugya. So with all the dust settles, we have this raging machlokes to Beis Yosef and the Mabit. And I mean raging. This was like a hot. You lived in Tzfat in the 1500s, so either you were talking about giving smicho or you were talking about perishvias. There was very else little going on in Tzfat. This was part of my tour, right? Every time we go, every summer I get the same tour in Tzfat. So they ask me to give the highlights from the Misnagid's version of the city of Tzfat. So I tell them what really mattered in Tzfat, all the silliness and the Narishkeit about all the stories about people coming up from the dead in Tzfat. That's the Dvar B'Talem. The only things that really mattered in Tzfat was the Chiddush HaSmicha issue in Tzfat. And we talk about Kedushas Perishvias on Perishal Akam. We talk about Yotoshen Shagolios for the Bnei Chutzlaritz and Tzfat, the children of the Beis Yosef. We talk about why the box of matzahs of Erev Chatzeris is in the Ari Shul and why it's in the Ari's house. And we talk about the Mikvah and the Maya, and the things that really matter, what the Beis Yosef really cared about. The Beis Yosef could have cared less about the people coming up from the dead and accepting rings and being Mekadesh, Amaisalach, from the Talim. So the only things that really mattered was this stuff. Fine. So the getting back to the story. So I just had to get that out of my system before next time. But it always ends up the more people go on that tour than my tour. I get that Shabbat comes every year of the same tour. Even my kids go on the other tour. They think the other story. Avram Zeff likes the other stories. The guys coming after the dead much better than me. Okay, good. Maybe I'll throw in some stories about Achon Shapesa, people knocking on doors, it'll excite people a little bit. Okay, so. The bottom line is that we have all these Gemaras, Lachem Lol Yaakov, the Torah's Karnim can go either way. Speaking with Mazakh and the Ram go either way. Meshulma can go either way. So we haven't come to any resolution as Machalik's B'Siyasef. So comes to B'Siyasef and goes one step further. Comes and says, you know, I'm a big Mekil, right? Dr. Biaskaro. Been a tremendous Mekil. I just told you, all the dinner pay of Shvias don't apply. Buy all your fruits, all your vegetables from Muhammad, and you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about shasa beer. You can throw the food into the garbage, as Odin of Ochlo said. You can feed it to your dogs, to the goyim. You can make juice out of everything, not only out of berries. You know, whatever you want, everything's mutter. It's like buying fruit mamish right from a goy in Nebraska. Everything is a heter gomer. According to Beis says, I sound like I'm the biggest maker in the world, right? So after Beis says, no, I'm a very big bachmi. You know why? Every kula is a chumrah. Every chumrah is a kula. Says the Beis Yosef, if it's not Perish Shvias, then guess what? It's Chaim and Chumas and Maisus. If it's not Perish Shvias, then it's Chaim, it's like any other year. Now that's a little bit of a tricky thing. Is it really truly Chaim and Chumas and Maisus? Are Perus of a Goy that grow in it still Chaim and Chumas and Maisus? What does that depend on? Yesh Kidim, how do we pass it? Except for Rabbeinu Baruch, how do we pass it? Ain Kidim Lafkiyas, we pass it. It's Chaim and Chumas and Maisus. But there's another quirk. It can only be Chayav Trumas Maisus if it had Miruach Yisrael. What does Miruach Yisrael mean? It means the Jew is the one who did the Gemar Malachi. He's the one who smoothed off the pile of the wheat. He's the one who finished up the move. The Miruach was done by the Goy. That's a whole nother p'tur. So says the Beis Yosef, but if you bought the fruit before Gemar Malacha and you finished off Malacha, of course you have to be Mafir Shumas Maisus. What's the Shaila? It's like any other year. If you would buy fruit from a guy in the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle, and you did Miruach, you did Gemar Malach, you'd have to be Maiser it. So who did not? You have to Maiser it. If you buy during the Shnas HaShemitah, there's no Kula whatsoever. This Beis Yosef is not just theoretical. He wasn't just sitting in Tzfat, you know, writing a Sefer. This was Halach LeMaisa. Why is Halach LeMaisa? It's generally in Tzfat. The guy owned the land. So the guy used to work. And one of the big promises that the guy would make was what? Was what? Wine. They owned the grapes. They planted all the grapes. All the vineyards were owned by the Goyim, and the Jews needed wine. So they couldn't buy wine from the Goyim. Buy wine from the Goyim. What's the problem? Betray from the Stam Yenam. So they used to buy what from the Goyim? They would buy the grapes from the Goyim, and then they would finish off the Miruach on their own. So says the Beis Yosef, that's great, that's wonderful, I have no problem with that. But just don't forget, you're in the Shnas HaShmita to be Mafish, Shumas and Maisus. Shemitah, Mafish, Shumas and Maisus. I never heard of such a thing. Everybody knows Shnas HaShmita is a freebie. Says the Beis Yosef, no, it's not. It's a freebie when you have Kedushas Perish Shvias, because Kedushas Perish Shvias is a point there for Maisus. But here, there's no Kedushas Perish Shvias on it, because there's Lachem Lol Yaakov. So Zok to Beis Yosef, I'm the biggest Mekil, who says you can throw the wine into the garbage now, you could use this wine for the second coast of by the Seder. Wine that has Kedushas Perish Shvias, you can't use it by the second coast. You know why? Why not? Why can't you use it for the second coast? Dam Tradeh Kini Marov, that's Lachel Lol Hefzid. Unless afterwards you drink all the makas. Nobody wants to drink the makas. So some place came a machmir that if you want to use the Peh Shvias wine for the Seder, either don't use it for the second coast or make sure to drink it after you're done. Otherwise it's a shalva of an isser, Lachel Lol Hefzid. Says they say, it's fine, it's on the house. You can eat, you can use this wine. You can even buy the wine that says Kosher Fi Lefi Abet Yosef, right? Like all the bottles, all the Sephardi wines that I say Lefi Abet. Ich bin the Beis Yosef. I'm the Beit Yosef. I'm Maran. That's me. So says the Beis Yosef, you could use my wine. It's perfectly okay, but don't forget to be Ma'afir Shumas and Ma'is, or else you're drinking Tevel. That's what the Beis Yosef says. What did my bit respond to the Beis Yosef? A bit said back to the Beis Yosef. No, I don't accept your kula. I don't accept your chumrah. I don't accept your kula. I think it has full-fledged kedusha shviyas to it, and therefore all these surim of leochla, you can't use it for the second kais, and you can't put your havdalah candle into it, and you can't throw it down the drain, and you can't throw out your orange peels. Well, it's all full-fledged kedusha. But I'll tell you, the good news says the mabit, I'm a big machr in perish shviyas, but what am I? I'm a big mekel in what? In semaisis. You don't have to be machr in semaisis. Even if you have a Miruach Yisrael, it doesn't matter. It's meaningless. It's not, it has Kedush Perish Shvias. Everybody knows Kedush Perish Shvias is a point there from Trumas and Maisus. So the Beis Yosef and Mabit, which started out as a Machloikis, the Beis Yosef being the big Mekil, and the Mabit being the big Machmer, that's in Hilchus Kedushas Perek Shviyas. But the corollary of the Machlok is they flip sides in terms of Trumas and Ma'isras. So the Machmir by the Mekil, Mekil by the Machmir. This was not just like, you know, two people arguing. This was correspondence. There was letters back and forth. This was like every Shnasa Shmita, this Machlokes raised its head again. This was like an ongoing thing for 30 years in Tzvat. They were finding this out. So then the Beis Yosef turned around to Mabit and says, Achap. No, I'm right, even if I'm wrong. He said, I'm right in Trumas and Ma'isras, even if you're right. Says the Beis Yosef, turning, playing it out to Mabit and says, even Zalzayin, that you're correct, that this full flesh Kedusha Shvius, which you happen not to be, but even if you are, which you're wrong, but even if you're right, that this full flesh Kedusha Shvius, you still have to be Ma'afir Shumas and Ma'isras. What? Who ever heard of such a thing? Ma'afir Shumas and Ma'isras during the Shnasa Shmita, that's unheard of. Really? Why is there no Trumas and Ma'isras during the Shnasa Shmita? A regular Jew, I leave that to go, a regular, I own a Jewish, I own a field, I grow grapes, and everybody agrees, there's no chiyuv of Trumas and Ma'isras. Why is that? Doesn't say explicitly why. We know it's true, everybody knows that, that's fairish. Why is that? What?
It's after.
Oh, so says the Beis Yosef, if you know why there's no Trumas and Ma'isras, it has nothing to do with the fact that it has Kedushas Perek Shviyas. Kedushas Perek Shviyas is not the poiter. You know what the poiter is? Zeretz Hefker. Since the din happens to be that Perek Shviyas, one of the side shows of Perek Shviyas happens to be Hefker, and there's a din, in a regular din, a din klali, another shmita, the din klali in Trumas and Ma'isras, that Hefker is always part of them in Trumas and Ma'isras, that's the reason why. So says the Beis Yosef, there's no independent Ptura called Kedushas Perek Shviyas, it's not a preterist from Trumas and Ma'isras, it's the Hefker Shabbat that's a pointer. So the Beis Yosef, even if you do my bitter right, that the fruit of a goy is full flesh Kedusha Shviyas, is it Hefker? When it grows, is it Hefker? Absolutely. Why is it not Hefker? What makes something Hefker during the Shnasa Shemitah? This is a tricky one, says the Beis Yosef. What creates the shame? Everyone knows Perek Shviyas is Hefker. Why? The Hefker, you know why? Because the Torah told you to. Because the Torah gave you a mitzvah tishmeten and a tashta, the Torah demands that you're mafker. And what if you refuse? So they're not hefker, says the Beis Yosef. They don't necessarily become hefker. The guy refuses, you know why? Not because he's a bad guy, because that's not one of the shem mitzvahs b'nei noach. The guy is not mechuyav to be mafker perek shviyas. So it's a madach, says the Beis Yosef. According to those who say that a guy's fruit has kedusha shviyas, it has full flesh. Again, Beis Yosef thinks the whole thing is wrong. But even the world view of the Mabit, that a goy's fruit has full flesh of the Shviyas, but they're not Hefker. It's a little bit of a steer in Mineo, baby, not really. Because the Din Hefker doesn't emanate from Kedusha Shviyas. The Din Hefker is not an absolute. The Din Hefker is, if you have a mitzvah to be Mafker, then you do your mitzvah, it becomes Hefker. And if you don't have such a mitzvah, then they're not Hefker. So says the Beis Yosef, the grapes, even according to the Mabit, which have Kedusha Shviyas, they're a quirk. They're Kedusha Shviyas without a Din Hefker. Without a Din Hefker, then there's a Chi of what? Trumas and Ma'isras. So the Beis Yosef just said, there's no way you're going to turn to get out of Trumas and Ma'isras on this fruit. If you hold like me, with Zichin as a Chi of Trumas and Ma'isras, there's no Kedusha Shviyas B'chlal. And even according to you, Mabit, there should be a Chi of Trumas and Ma'isras. What did the Mabit respond? No. He said, there's no Trumas and Ma'isras. You know why? Says the Mabit, why are Perek Shviyas part of Trumas and Ma'isras? So what Mr. Alter said was the Beis Yosef's reason. What does the Mabit respond? Tell me why. Why are Perek Shviyas part of the Trumas and Ma'isras? Kedusha Shviyas is a poiter. The Yisrael Teichel Chayas Asad. It's the Gzeres HaKosma. Mechoda, whatever the Mokor is. There's no Trumas and Ma'isras on Perek Shviyas because they're Perek Shviyas. Not because they have. Because they're Kaddish with Kedusha Shviyas. Therefore, Zok the Mabit, to me who says that they're Kaddish with Kedusha Shviyas, the male, there's no Chiyuv Trumas and Ma'isras. So we have logically three possibilities how to view Trumas and Ma'isras on Perek Shviyas. Either they are chayav because einam kedoshim, they're not kadosh with their Shviyas, or they're chayav af al pi shekedoshim. Why are they chayav? Because einam hefker, or they're patur because the kedoshim. Because they're covered with Shviyas. So three logical possibilities, what I take should be. Two out of the three logical possibilities are L'chiyuv. The Beis Yosef said, I personally hold this is the MS, but I'm willing to play devil's advocate and meet you that they're Kaddish and they're still Potter, because they're not Hefker. And the Mabit says, no, you're wrong on both. they have Kedusha, and just because they have Kedusha, that in of itself is a Paita. So that was another raging machlokes Beis Yosef in the Mabit. How do we pass in Halacha? And we are. Chazuk the Ramah. And then again, Ramah sitting in Krakow, you know, in the 1500s. Well, this is raging a couple hundred miles away, you know, and not too relevant. No one's sending any grapes or Jaffa oranges or any medjool dates to Krakow. So the Ramah sitting and eating. What are you eating, Krakow? What did the Ramah eat in Krakow? Potatoes. The only thing that grew in Poland. There's a reason why the Jews in Poland ate potatoes. That's the only thing that grows when you have sunlight 2 weeks a year. So they ate potatoes. Why do you eat potatoes for carpas? When I was a little boy, I never heard of carpas. I never had carpas with potatoes. I wouldn't eat potatoes. No. When you were, come on. Yeah, that was potatoes. Potatoes, and what was mara? Mara was horseradish, because nothing grew. They couldn't grow lettuce or anything. Nothing grew in Poland. It was cold in Poland all year long. It started snowing in Sukkot. It stopped snowing Shavuos, and then that was it. So comes the Ramon and says, if by some quirk you happen to have Peiros Akam of a Goy, Peiros Shavuos of a Goy, that made it to Krakow, so Zakhtar Ramon, you know you should do it? Yeshayim, you know what you should do? You should be Mafra Shavuos of Maizah Zan. Come on. Mafra Shavuos of Maizah. Yeshayim, tucked away in Simran Shin Lamed Alf in your day, if anyone is looking. The Ramon's Machriya, that we're not going to be so make like the Ma'bit and just say, yeah, just forget about it. It's on the house. You should be Mafra Shavuos of Maizah. What's unclear from the Ramah?
Why?
Did the Ramah mean to say that it's chayav because there's no Kedusha? Like what the Beis Yosef really held? Or the Ramah mean to say, well, we're not so convinced the Beis Yosef is right on this, but at least we'll meet him halfway. Or at least the Chumro will say. So it's unclear. Again, the Ramah didn't spend too much time talking about this because it really wasn't too relevant. The Shach and the Taz, nobody in Yerodea, none of the Ashkenazim living in Poland, you know, spend that much. I mean, maybe they pilpled about it, but Lamais and Shulchan Aruch didn't take up too much. They're not going to find anything. So this was a hot issue in Tzfat in the 1500s. It died down when the Jewish community in Tzfat wasn't so big in 16, 17, 18. There weren't too many Jews around. All of a sudden, Klai Yisrael starts to return, Baruch Hashem, starts to return to Eretz Yisrael, and this Machlokes from the 1500s begins to rage again. A new name start to take on here in terms of becoming the Bali Dov. It's just the same Machlokes over and over again. But so Pasa Shulchan, the Talmud from the Gra, was one of the early people who came back to Eretz Yisrael. What did he say? How did he pass him? Like the Beis Yosef. And the Minig became in Yerushalayim like the Beis Yosef. The Minig became the old Yeshuv. The minute it became Lachem Lol Yaakov, that's it, finished, there's no Kedush on it, and Mamel, you have to separate the Mizanais. That's the corollary. According to Beis Yosef, it was pure Beis Yosef. Therefore, they would buy fruit and vegetables from the Goy, everything was bought from the Goy, everything was people Nochri, nobody cared about Peir Shvius, everyone threw it into the garbage, they fed it to the dogs, they made juice out of nobody, it played Tzipem Tzavtsev. And then things started to change. Who was Oyel Eretz Yisrael? A couple hundred years later, 150 years later, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish went back to the sources, back to the sugyas, and he said, you know who's Emes is right, Zuch, the Chazon Ish? The Emes Lamitai? The Mabit's right. Says the Chazon Ish, the Mabit's right. Aye, the Ramah said, you have to be Mafish, Shumas, and Maisers. Says the Chazon Ish, first of all, the Ramah said is Yesh Omer. And the Ramah maybe only meant it, but there is Chumra, we can't tell. We don't have no press that what was really going on in Poland 500 years ago, because it wasn't relevant. And number two, says the Chazon Ish, just because he said Yechayev, maybe he meant Yechayev of Bisha Kedoshim. Maybe he was Machri like the middle ground, not like the pure Bisha Yosef. So the fact that we're Mafreshim, says the Chazon, I'll also be Mafreshim and Maizis. I have no problems with Mafreshim. I'm not so convinced that my bit's right, but I'm pretty convinced, says the Chazon Ish. And therefore, I'm not going to let you make your own conditions for Yishuyas. And thus, we have Adayim Azeh, until still in Tavshin Ayin Vav, but last Shemitah, Tavshin Ayin Hey. Are still enraging Machlokes Adayim Azeh between different Minhagim. Again, this is all within those who are assuming that Shemitah is on the radar screen over here. Are we going to get stuff from Goyim? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to treat it with the Shvius or not? So Yerushalayim, the Minig was, the Minig still is, for the most part, to be Mekil, and B'nai Brak, and those extended places that have accepted Minhagim B'nai Brak, and the Minhagim B'nai Chazon Ish, are Machmas. You have two equally valid Mahalch. It goes without saying that anyone who's accepting the Het Mechira is automatically also subscribing to who? By definition, if you're accepting the Heter Mechira, so then if you're a farmer, so then you have to help, you have to accept the Heter Mechira vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis the Rabbeinu Baruch with the Rashi. You have to really, really go out on a limb. But most of us aren't farmers, so most of us are asking shalos as consumers. So anyone who is a consumer is relying on Heter Mechira is also by definition relying on who? On the Beis Yosef. If you hold like the Chazon Ish, that even a real field, that mamish, the real dinim mamish belongs to a guy, still Kaddish B'Kedusha Shviyas, and you have to observe all the dinim, so that's not going to help you very much. The goal of Heter Mechira is to make life easy for everybody. The farmers can plant, and the people can buy, and everyone can throw out, and everyone can do whatever they want, and the whole Shemitah is off the charts. So yeah, that's only true if the Beis Yosef is true also. So it could be, one could argue the following, conceptually, that we really saw that the Heter Mechira is relying on two different groups of kulas. It's relying on one mahalach of kulas for the farmers. That was a little bit shakier, because there you had to rely on some sort of one day in Rashi, you had to rely on some sort of Rabbeinu Baruch, you had to sort of, you know, pull out shitas that are probably not majority views. That's true. In order to be mahalach to somebody to plant for the Shnasa Shemitah. Most of us are not planting, we're not plowing, we just want to eat. I want to go into a store and buy the following. I know, you know, I'm going to buy the following. Do I have to worry about these Yisurim? Do any of these things speak to me? Do I have to worry about Hefzid? Do I have to worry about Shnas HaBir? Do I have to worry about, you know, the money being become cut from Yisurim? All these dinim that emanate from Kedushas Bnei Shviyas, do these speak to me or not? So maybe I could argue, listen, I'm not going to have the guts to rely on a Rashi with a Rabbeinu Baruch, with a this, with that, to plant, but I have guts to rely on the Beis Yosef. Paper rely on the Beis Yosef. So one could theoretically split and say, do you rely on the Heter Mechira? Well, it depends what you mean. Do you mean vis-a-vis Aveda? Do you mean vis-a-vis Kedushas Bnei Shviyas? Again, if you hold the Chazon Ish, so that's a moot point, because the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Beis Yosef. But if you don't want to follow, you don't want to go through the Machlech, like the Chazon Ish, you want to hold like the Beis Yosef, like the old Minhag Yerushalayim, still Minhag Yerushalayim basically. So one could, at least theoretically, be more lenient vis-a-vis the Heter Mechira from the vantage point of the consumer rather than the vantage point of the farmer. Okay, I'm not telling you one way or the other. I'm just saying one could make such a logical distinction. That's right. At least, well. Even if the fruit is mutter, but we'd still have to deal with all the right kedusha. Right. That would be treif. Right.
You hold that it's subject to kedusha, but it requires trumas and mas. You've got a problem because the truma you take basically you destroy it.
Right. So then you would have it would be a tricky afresh trumas and ma'aseh. You would have to be mafresh trumas and ma'aseh, and then not be mafsid that trumas. So you would have to figure out a way to do that. So, well, the truth is you always have to do that because you can never be mafsid trumas. This be mafsid trumas. So whatever you do to save the truma kedusha would help for the perishes as well. So basically, even though we are learning primarily the sugya of Maseches Sanhedrin, so we're really looking at the sugya through the eyes of this Rashi to the Tosfos, and the second half about the Kedushas Peiros was almost secondary. It wasn't really in the Gemara itself, so, you know, shocking surprise that we spent the day in learning something that wasn't exactly inside the Gemara. That's okay. But the next sugya that we're going to really do, the Makom Patish, at least of the regular years of before June's month starts, does not appear in Maseches Sanhedrin, but I find it's impossible in today's world to learn the sugya and not to give time to this. Namely, everything we've been talking about up to now is assuming that a field really belongs to a guy. If it really belongs to a guy, then you can pilpul, maybe it could work, maybe it can't. Maybe the fruit is kaddish, maybe it's not. Maybe it's chamzim, maybe it's not. But that's not exactly what's going on in Eretz Yisrael today. In Tavshin Ayin, hey, last Shemitah, so 98% of the land really belonged to Jews. And we're just doing some kind of a mechiras chametz over here, you know, to try to transfer it over to them for a couple of months, you know, for a year, and we're calling it karka shel goy, calling it peir shel akum. So that ends up raising a whole other series of red flags. Everything we've been talking about, as you've already seen, is shaky. There's nothing here that was muskim at all. Everything in the avodah was very shaky. Even the achiva was not so pashut. But up to now, we're talking about real bona fide karka shel goy, real bona fide peir shel akum. How in the world can we, or maybe we can't, get our land, which is clearly karka shel Yisrael, and trying to make this chit-chat kind of a mechira to circumvent Shemitah? So that's already a whole other aspect of the sugya. That's going to be tomorrow and Thursday. We'll try to do it.